Chapter 27, An Approaching Storm. New Year's Day, 2019. After showering and brushing my teeth for the first time in days, I decided I wanted to make pancakes. Unfortunately, we didn't have the ingredients, and the only shop open was a 1 mile trek through an unforgiving winter cold. The sensible thing would be to make something else, or to wait for Mum and Dad. Instead, with no sleep, I stepped outside for the first time in a week. Vigorous wind clattered in my ears, demanding submission. I sang Red Cold River by Breaking Benjamin under an icy breath. When I limped through the door, plagued by a roomy cough and carrying 2 bags of breakfast foods, Dad thought a burglar had entered the house. My legs ached for days afterwards. But it was a return to form, proof of determination, and a valuable resource in war. Back at arms, I logged into my main Discord account, ready to close the online theatre. Over the past week, I had stepped away, and in that time I could see that Cole had sent multiple messages. "Max, the project's been hit with a cease and desist. I need a statement from you. Respond to me, please," he begged. I ignored him for a few days to give him a taste of his own medicine, so to speak. When I'd been framed and was at my lowest, Cole hadn't helped me. Why did I owe him anything? In fact, whilst ignoring him, I went out to eat with my grandparents. No internet drama in sight. Did I need to be a community manager, respected and followed by everyone? Ever since leaving Galactic Conquest, I'd achieved non-virtual things and had experienced other sources of happiness. With maturity came a wider and wider world. And if I believed that Portum didn't have a place in my future, couldn't I also give up the need for power on the internet? Assisting Cole and returning to his side would have been a giant step backwards. However, leaving him and the community in peril wasn't good for my conscience, so I compromised with myself. To bring about closure, I'd write a statement to these lawyers and then leave my internet empire to rot. I gave myself a week to close up shop, saying goodbye to followers and giving them a chance to play and game with me. A lot of them had stuck by me throughout the last few months. And though they'd never learn what had happened behind the scenes, I felt the need to pay tribute to their loyalty. A cathartic release followed as I deleted all accounts related to Cole's project and its community. Cole asked me to stay, telling me that the lawyers were blown away by what I'd said. But I didn't stop to say goodbye to him. In fact, I'm not so sure he was telling the truth about there being any lawyers at all. After months of brutal stalemate, things ended quickly and in the best way possible, with a resolution that allowed me to move forward. And though the tribunal and my placement in Oakwood were still uncertain, life online had never been easier. I just had one Discord account for communicating with Jaden and other pupils at Portum, and another for staying in touch with my fellow paladins. Freed from digital bondage, I could commit all my resources to preparing for the tribunal. Hopefully, I would win and finish my Portum years on a high note. When school started again, I tried to wake up earlier and make myself breakfast in the mornings. I wanted to see the escort gobsmacked, but she'd already left and been replaced with someone else. Lessons didn't become any easier to attend without protest. I didn't understand the point of committing to something I might not finish, and it was hard to change that mindset. Unsurprisingly, Nathan didn't understand that Jaden and I wanted to be left alone, even if I explained it to him. There didn't seem to be a way to end the issue, so I decided it was best to avoid him. But although my strategy reduced encounters between us, it wouldn't work as a permanent solution. Jaden and I ended up eating our lunch in private, away from the kitchen. Rosalind argued that he would lose interest if we talked to him in a friendly way, but we didn't see him as a redeemable or safe to be around. I predicted escalations between him and other students, and such predictions inevitably came true. Violence erupted on multiple occasions, causing me to spend even more time in a vegetative-like state in the cheering room. No matter what I did, the cracks continued to grow bigger. My ability to endure was faltering after months of grueling warfare. And with nothing to be done until March 7th, the initial burst of effort in my fight with the local authority fell into a stalemate that was even more tiring. This lasted until they launched a new offensive, sending us their evidence. Portum was an undefendable position for them. All our reports favoured a more suitable setting, and theirs couldn't offer much of a rebuttal. Mix that with my family's emotional ties to Charlotte, one of their witnesses, and you get a nervous local authority. With just under 2 months to go before the hearing, they moved the goalposts, citing Harbourview School as their chosen placement for me. 2 years prior, we had visited and rejected Harbourview. It was too similar to Portum, too far from my house, and thus unfeasible for me to reach by 8:30 in the morning on account of my acknowledged difficulties. When I visited, I found it too overcrowded, a tiny complex with over 50 people. I saw myself seeking shelter in their garden shed if I was ever sent there. This, along with our judgment that their resources simply couldn't meet my needs, was why we dismissed it. Fair enough, right? Well, actually no, it wasn't. Our solicitor told us that the distance, location, size and amount of pupils weren't an argument. Even if they tied into both my sensory needs and my ability to attend school there. In this war, buzzwords were what mattered most. If Harbourview offered life skills and therapies, reading the fine print or inquiring how they would be delivered was secondary. You could summarise it all as a checklist, with no further reading or questions needing to be asked. If our side wanted to win, we would need to ask those questions and to put them well. On the surface, this may seem like a simple change, but it gave the local authority a lot of bargaining power. In a SEN tribunal, the words of your witnesses usually carry the most weight. And none of ours had seen Harbourview, nor was there time to send them in. You see, time was a major factor. We didn't have the resources available to the local authority, and most families can't fight a case for long, if at all. They also knew that every day I spent at Portum was a day less in Oakwood. So if the unthinkable happened and I won, I'd have less time to take advantage of Oakwood, which meant they wouldn't have to pay as much. But the best outcome for them would be if I never stepped inside the school at all. So they brought in the heavy artillery, in form of an experienced barrister.
"It's all scare tactics," I said. "They want to intimidate us. Look, Charlotte's report isn't even true."
"What do you mean, not true?" Mum asked.
"He can work in pairs with other pupils in class and give his opinion," I read. "Literally all our evidence says otherwise, and so do I."
"Charlotte isn't involved in the case anymore, though."
"That's not my point. She's claiming that Portum will magically get resources if I just regain my motivation. Her report is well written, but it falls apart because we've done our research. We'll have to do the same for Harbourview."
"Yes, but we have so little time."
"Don't let them intimidate you. That's what they want. Dad thinks we're going to win. I think we're going to win. So no matter what, we have to see this through."
Was Charlotte intentionally speaking untruths? Or had she made a mistake amidst the pressure? I wanted to give her the benefit of the doubt. Yet I couldn't help but feel she had malicious intent. With the introduction of Harbourview School, my plan to use her underlying emotions to sabotage the local authority's case was void. However, I felt if Portum's problems were openly disclosed, someone would have to fix them. So the surveys would go ahead as planned, but for a different purpose. With parents starting to question Portum's resources and its ability to prepare their children for life, it was the perfect time to execute my plan. Two last battles awaited. One would change Portum's future. Another would change mine. To prepare for the former, I researched everything I could find on Harbourview, down to even the smallest details found in pictures. What perplexed me most was how Mia, the head of their provision, who had met me for a mere half an hour 2 years ago, believed I'd flourish at her school. This alone didn't mean we could disprove her statement without visiting Harbourview for ourselves. Our other witnesses were all booked and unable to attend at such short notice, which left only Maya, the deputy head of Oakwood, to join us on our visit. There was just one problem. The local authority blocked her attendance. They didn't believe her to be a suitably qualified professional. Our solicitor intervened, but the local authority remained belligerent. If we wanted any of our witnesses to see Harbourview, he would need to get a court order from the tribunal. However, given his heavy caseload, this would take time that we didn't have. This gave the local authority an advantage of which they were well aware, as my words and those of my parents carried little weight. If we wanted to argue against Harbourview, one of our witnesses needed to see it. On the day of our visit, Mia greeted us with a firm handshake and unwavering eye contact. My parents asked the important questions whilst I remained silent, scrutinising every detail of the provision. It was a small rectangular complex, located outside the mainstream school, with tightly packed structures including a garden shed taking up most of the space. Mia cited Portum as her inspiration, but I hadn't embarked on this tribunal simply to continue with the same weary educational structure. I'd done 5 years at Portum, so choosing a very similar placement miles away from my house would be a giant step backwards. In Harbourview School, I saw a future of regression. I'd arrive late each morning, groggy and full of angst, dropped against my will into a confined space with over 50 people to contend with. At this stage in my life, I wanted progression, not regression into the depths of sensory and emotional overload. Leaving Portum for Harbourview was like coming out of an oven into a furnace. "What about OT and your other therapies?" Mum asked. "We have universal support, once every half term," Mia replied. "Max, all our students love it here, and I'm sure you will too." "I've been here for 5 minutes. How can you possibly know that?"
Okay.
"Do you have a question for me?"
"How do your students cope in mainstream?"
"Most of our students attend lessons there, but the ones in mainstream love their classes. I think that's why they're so successful."
"She's good with words. I'll give her that."
"What subjects are you interested in, Max? We offer a lot here."
"Recently I passed my CompTIA certification exam, so computing, I guess."
"Outside of mainstream, we offer our own IT programs. Oh, and our students help the teachers with their computer problems. Everything here is open to you."
"Can you accommodate CompTIA certifications?"
"I don't know what those are, but I'll look into it for you."
"Whatever I say, she'll say they can offer it in some capacity." "You won't need to. Most people self-study for them. Wherever I end up, I can do it."
"Well, we'd be thrilled to have you here. But if you want Oakwood, you need to speak up at the tribunal, because you're the best advocate for yourself."
"Thanks, I guess."
We were on opposing sides, but did she want to battle us? As head of her provision, advocating for my placement, there was an obligation. But I knew if she was a committed opponent, she wouldn't have said that.
"It's a joke. The BTECs are primary school level," I said.
"You're not arguing about the courses, though," Bradford 943 pointed out. "Any school can give you that. Like you said, it's about catching up with the other stuff."
"Problem is, she'll just say she offers life skills, the therapies, and the tribunal will take her word for it.
That's why you have a solicitor, mate.
They have a barrister."
"Our enemies always had the advantage. But the Paladins never lost a war."
"This is different. They'll ask me questions and trip me up."
"Yeah, they'll try that. But like that woman said, you know yourself best."
"What if I sort of, I don't know, talked about why Harbourview wouldn't work in great detail?"
"Sounds like a good plan. I can help you practice over voice chat."
"Works for me. But they could make up something about me being overdramatic."
"That's fear talking. If you make a great speech about all the shit you've put up with, it's going to look terrible if they just call you overdramatic."
"Let's just hope I'll be ready,"